Good morning, Trinity. Welcome to Worship with Trinity this morning. I'm Reverend Catherine Flux Price. I am one of the pastors here of Trinity, and it is great to be with you today. If you are here on a regular basis, we're glad you're here, and if you are here for the very first time, we are especially pleased to be able to welcome you as our guest. In your bulletin, on one of the panels of your bulletin, you'll find a connection card. And I invite you to take that card and to tear it out right now. And then at some point during the service, to fill it out and then put it in the offering plate later in the service when those are passed. If you're here on a regular basis, if you'll give us at least your name and your email, it helps us to be able to stay connected with you. And if you are here for the first time, if you'll fill out as much information as you are comfortable providing, we sure would appreciate it because it helps us to get to know you. I want to let you know that I am aware around this time of year that Trinity becomes covered with pumpkins, right? The big pumpkin patch. And we learned yesterday that the pumpkins will not be delivered today at 5:30, but instead tomorrow at 5:30. So that shifts our plans. And I know from having done this in previous churches that unloading the semi is a lot of hard work and a lot of fun. Fun for all ages. Everyone can participate and help in some way. So, since we've had that change in date, I would invite you to consider coming out and helping us to unload that tractor, trailer, semi full of pumpkins. They'll be small ones. If you can't carry heavy ones, everybody can participate. It's a great intergenerational opportunity for us. And again, it's tomorrow at 5:30. And if you can help, I think there's a table out front, and you can sign up and let us know that you'll be there. One of the other things that the month of October signals is an opportunity for us to celebrate World Communion Sunday. The first Sunday in October has become a time when the global church celebrates who Christ is as the head of the church and celebrates our unity as the body of Christ. So today, in churches across the world, in majestic cathedrals and in corner storefronts, on the hillside and in the inner city, in a mud hut and in a white wooden church in the country, people are celebrating the sacrament of communion. And as we do that, we have the opportunity to be reminded of our unity, reminded that this feast is set for us by Christ, and it's a place where everyone is welcome. And so I say to you this morning, welcome home. Let me invite you to stand up and say hello to someone near you. Welcome them home. Welcome them to Trinity. Say hello if you don't, if you know them, and introduce yourself if you don't.
Good morning. Would you remain standing and join me as we sing our opening hymn?
In blood accord, Christ our Gracious God, we are gathered here with our hearts in glad accord to worship you, to bring glory and honor to your name, and to receive all that you have for us this day. Change our hearts and lives in this hour, we pray. And now let us affirm our faith together using the words of the Apostles' Creed on the screen before you. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended to the dead. The third day he rose from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God, the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Enter into this time of prayer together. I invite you to assume a posture of prayer. You might feel inclined to take your hands and open them on your lap like this. As we enter into this moment of silence, that way you're in the position to receive whatever it is that God might have for you this morning. And as we enter into silence before we pray together, I invite you to pray quietly for these folks, members of our community of faith who are in the hospital or in rehab or other places and are in need of God's healing grace and in need of the prayers of us, God's people. And so now let us enter into a time of prayer, uniting our hearts. Gather here this morning to sing your praise, to hear your word read and proclaimed, to meet at your table and celebrate a holy meal together. We pray, O God, that you will pour your grace into us all and help us to link arms with our brothers and sisters all around the world. On this World Communion Sunday, make us keenly aware of your calling on our lives. One with Christ, one with each other, and one in ministry to all the world. Today and every day, may we see your love and your life. May we see your glory and your face in every neighbor. Help us to look past our differences and divisions, our preferences and partialities, so we no longer see the other in those we meet, but instead we see our oneness in you. Use us, Lord Jesus, to bring comfort to those who are grieving, lonely, heartbroken, ill, or broken in spirit. And we pray that you strengthen those whose lives feel shattered, whose lives don't make sense, who are in crisis or are experiencing loss. Shine your light into those whose world is covered in darkness, and on this World Communion Sunday, we pray in particular for our fellow Christians who live in fear for their lives simply for being followers of Jesus. And so we pray that you make us instruments. Thank you. we thank you that you have set a table for everyone. And for those who don't yet know you or know that they too are invited to your table, we pray that their lives be awakened to your love and to your grace. We pray these things in the name of Jesus, who taught us when we gathered to pray this way. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, power, and glory forever. The opportunity now to worship God with a time of offering where we give back to God out of what He has given us. So ushers, would you please come as they come? I'd like to let you know that when we give to the church here at Trinity, we are participating in the mission of this church to build God's kingdom here in Gainesville and around the world. So we give to God our offering and our tithe. But then also each worship service we're given another opportunity to give, and that is through the mission box. And this morning's mission box is called Extraordinary Joy, which seeks to raise funds for research for very rare X chromosome God, indeed, we thank you that you give us every good thing we enjoy in life, that you bless us and enrich our lives beyond measure. And we give back to you now for what you have given us. We pray that you multiply our gifts, our tithes, our offerings, for the good of your kingdom on earth. Attention to a passage that comes from the letter to the Ephesians. At the last service, we had a number of our children with us. Our second through fifth graders worshiped with us at 9:40 today, as well as our confirmation class that had just come back from retreat. And so by way of helping them find Ephesians, I gave them a little clue that I learned long ago. So some of you might appreciate having a clue about where to find Ephesians as well. It is a tiny letter in the New Testament. So if you're in the New Testament, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, and then the book of Acts, and then Romans, and then 1st and 2nd Corinthians, and then there are these four very small letters that are hard to find sometimes because there aren't very many pages. So Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, or as my wise Sunday school teacher called me years ago, GEPC, Georgia Electric Power Company. So if you remember that, then you'll never forget the order of those letters. Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians. So today, we are in Ephesians, and specifically in the fourth chapter, and I invite you to hear these words now from that letter. Therefore, as a prisoner for the Lord, I encourage you to live as people worthy of the call you received from God. Conduct yourselves with all humility, gentleness, and patience. Accept each other with love, and make an effort to preserve the unity of the Spirit with the peace that ties you together. You are one body and one Spirit, just as God also called you in one hope. There is one Lord, one faith, one baptism, and one God and Father of all, who is over all, through all, and in all. This is the word of God for the people of God, and God's people say, thanks be to God. Will you pray with me? Come, Holy Spirit, and breathe life into the words of this book, that they might carry a word from you into our hearts. Near the end of each of the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, we get a picture drawn for us of some of Jesus' final hours with his disciples. Specifically, each of those Gospel writers tell us about the upper room, that time that Jesus spent with them on the night before he knew he would be going to the cross. Matthew
Matthew, Mark, and Luke all tell us about the meal. They all give us words that then have become a part of our liturgy when we come to the table of communion and worship today. John takes a little different approach. He instead focuses on a message from Jesus to his disciples. In fact, in some of the later chapters of John, we have the longest single section of Jesus' words to anybody, anywhere in the Bible. He talks to them offering words of support and encouragement, of comfort, and of challenge. And then after this lengthy discourse to the disciples, he then turns his attention to God, and he prays. But he prays where the disciples can hear him. And in his prayer, something becomes crystal clear for both the disciples and for us. He is concerned about them staying together, staying as one, staying as unified after he is gone. And so he prays specifically for this. I am no longer in the world, but they are in the world, even as I am coming to you. Holy Father, watch over them in your name, the name you gave me, that they will be one, just as we are one. He continues with the prayer, and a little bit later we hear him return to this idea of unity. I pray that they will be one, Father, just as you are in me and I am in you. I am in them and you are in me, so that they will be made perfectly one. Then the world will know that you sent me and that you have loved them just as you love me. Did you catch that? Jesus prays for the unity of the disciples, not just for their own sake, not just for what it will mean for their relationships with one another, but also for the world's sake. They will be made perfectly one, then the world will know that you sent me. A witness of unity from the very beginning of the church was seen as essential as a way to bear witness to the world of God's presence among us. And so when we get to the book of Acts and we hear the story of the church just getting started, this is there for us again. Right after the day of Pentecost, when all of those first persons come to be a part with the disciples of the early church, these words show up in the second chapter of Acts. The believers devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, to the community, to their shared meals, and to their prayers. God performed many wonders and signs through the apostles, and all the believers were united and shared everything. And just a few verses later, we hear about the fruit that is born because of that witness of unity. The writer tells us that the Lord added daily to the community that was being saved. A witness of unity was seen as fundamental at the core of life that was shared among Christian believers. But it doesn't take long for things to start to go off the tracks. As we continue in the New Testament and we read letters written to particular communities of faith, it becomes clear that dissensions and disagreements and discord threatens the fabric of the church. Communities of faith begin to lose their distinctiveness as their members seek to live some of their life committed to one another, but some of their life committed to their own ideas or own interests. And so in the letters of Paul and the letters of some of his followers, we hear a reminder time for these communities to remember how important their witness of unity is. Galatians 3, we hear that familiar passage that there is neither Jew nor Greek, there is neither slave nor free, there is neither male nor female, for in Jesus Christ we are all one. When Paul writes to the Corinthians, an early church that is experiencing conflict and is having disagreements about who is in and who is not, and who is welcome at the table and who is not, and how one should behave when they come to the table, he begins his letter by saying, "Now I encourage you, brothers and sisters, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, agree with each other and don't be divided into rival groups. Instead, be restored with the same mind and the same purpose." When Paul writes to the Romans, a church that he has not yet spent time with, but he is looking forward to seeing, as he is wrapping up his letter, he encourages them also to hold on to unity. May the God of endurance and encouragement give you the same attitude toward each other, similar to Christ Jesus' attitude. That way you can glorify God together with one voice. And then in Philippians, when he turns his attention to reciting the Christ hymn that tells us about Christ's own life of obedience, challenges that community. Most important, live together in a manner worthy of Christ's gospel. Stand firm, united in one spirit and mind. And complete my joy by thinking the same way, having the same love, being united, and agreeing with each other. Then we get to today's text from the letter to the Ephesians. And the context is this. This fledgling Christian community has gotten started in the city of Ephesus, a thriving community in its day. And the location of the Temple of Artemis, one of the seven ancient wonders of the world. Now that temple and the religion that surrounded the practices of that temple were based on a religion of prosperity, a religion of status. And the citizens of Ephesus and also others around the Greco-Roman world had been seduced by this religion and its appeal. And in the shadow of that temple, this Christian community is challenged to hold on to its witness of keeping the faith together. They are called to live differently and at one with each other. In fact, in today's few verses alone, we hear that word one repeated seven times. One body, one spirit, one hope, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God. Like a drum, Paul keeps on beating the sound of unity. Today is World Communion Sunday. And I am so glad that the calendar of the church keeps bringing us back to this day year after year after year. It will not let us get away from the reminder that we are called to live as one in the world as Christ's body. And so today offers opportunity both to celebrate those places where we have seen and experienced and been a part of unity, and also to confess those places where we have not. And quite honestly, far too often on this day, it seems the church has more to confess that it has to celebrate. There is brokenness, and yet the same drum keeps on beating that we are called to unity as the church. We are called to be one as the body of Christ. One theologian sums up the importance of how we approach this in this way. mature Christians will always be more concerned about unity than about personal triumph. When it comes to our witness of faith, the me must always give way to the we. It is our witness together that is of primary importance, not only for our own sake, but for the sake of the world. You are one body, we hear in the Scripture. Not you should be one body, or you could be one body, or you might be one body, or maybe one day you will be one body, or keep trying and you'll get to where you're one body. You are one body. And as those who have pledged our allegiance, our commitment to the way of Christ, we are called to live into being a part of that body. Which means that we are called to surrender personal privilege at the foot of the cross. The me must always give way to the we. Next week we will start a new series of messages entitled Losing Ourselves on Purpose. And for several weeks we will look at some of the upside down values that Christ calls us to exhibit in the world. In a world that has very different ideas about values sometimes, so that we might bear witness to the one who we follow and bind ourselves to his way. As I think about us being part of the body together and the role that each of us must play in doing so, I'm reminded of a band and the musicians that make up a band. Every musician brings his or her own skills and gifts and passion for the music, and each of them contribute to the beauty of what they create together. And yet they must all surrender their own individual notions for the sake of what the group can do together, and in particular, in the context of a band, they must always be willing to pay attention to the tempo that is set by the drummer. Have you ever listened to a band that didn't pay attention to the tempo set by the drummer? It's a train wreck. And so even once they started, even if somebody else in the band thinks that's not the tempo I thought we were going to play this at, they better surrender to the tempo that the drummer has set, or it's not going to be pretty. Church, we have a drummer, and we are all participants, musicians in the band called the Body of Christ. And each of us must bind ourselves to the tempo set by that drummer. And that drummer is the Spirit of Christ. The Spirit that lives in each one of us. The Spirit that lives among us as community of faith. And the Spirit that keeps on beating one. Bind ourselves to the Spirit's tempo if our witness is to be what Christ has called us to. The writer to the Ephesians gives us some help with this today in lifting up some characteristics that we will display. Humility, gentleness, patience, love. Those are the ways of followers of Christ. Those are the pathways to binding ourselves to the tempo that the Spirit is setting. So let me suggest a little practical application for us this morning. This past week in the e-message, I offered a couple of questions for us all to consider as we think about what it means to contribute to the unity of the body. First question is this: are there any ways in which my words and actions are hurting the unity of Christ's body? And the second question is this: how can I be a better witness for the unity of Christ's body? And I'm not just talking about Trinity, I'm talking about the church. You might look at these two questions as two sides of the same coin. The first question asking us to consider, what is it that I need to stop in order to be a better witness for you? And the second question being, what is it that I need to start in order to be a better witness for you? What do I need to stop? And what do I need to start? Spending some time reflecting on those questions may open you up to some insights you hadn't thought about before. I'll be honest, if you really do this and you really spend time in prayer with these questions, it might sting a little bit. You might hear some things that are uncomfortable for you. It might demand some change in behavior. But I promise you, it will make a difference for the good. Not only for you, but for others around you. And then I want to give you one other practical application in our immediate future. Specifically, the next 37 days. We are at a time in our country of great division, great hostility, of anger and hatred and ugliness. And sadly, far too often the voices that we hear in this hostility and this anger and this ugliness are voices of persons who claim that they are followers of Christ. Friends, ugliness and hatred are not the way of followers of Christ. The writer today told us the way of Christ: humility, gentleness, patience, love. We see those characteristics lived out day in and day out by Christ himself during his life. So I challenge you in the next 37 days to be different. To be different from the voices that are out there making a cacophony of disruption and dissension and brokenness. Speak and act and live in such a way that other people will be curious why you are remaining so calm, why you are remaining so even-tempered, why you are remaining so kind and loving in the face of hostility around you. Live in such a way that your life is what Michael Frost describes as one worth questioning. I love that concept. You're going to hear me share that some more in the future. That at our core, in the 21st century, living the life of a Christian is about living a life that is worth questioning. That other people out there would start paying attention and wonder why it is that you speak and you act the way that you do. Live in a way that offers your life to be bound to the Spirit that keeps on healing. Because when we look at the pages of Scripture, when we listen to the words of Jesus to his disciples, when we listen to the words of the writer to the Ephesians this morning, one thing is abundantly clear. one Lord, one faith, one baptism. The drum of unity keeps on beating. Are you in time with me? Let's pray. Oh God, by your grace, may our eyes and our ears and our hearts be open to those places where we need to surrender and where you can use us as a witness. A witness to your goodness and the good things that you want to do in our lives. Lives of your children all around us. Amen.
Hear these words of invitation as we prepare to come to the table. Christ our Lord invites to the table all who love him, who earnestly repent of their sins and seek to live in peace and unity with God and with one another. I invite you to join with me in the great thanksgiving. The Lord be with you. Lift up your heart. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is right and a good and joyful thing always and everywhere to give thanks to you, Almighty God, Creator of heaven and earth. You have made from one every nation and people to live on all the face of the earth. And so with your people on earth and all the company of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn. Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Holy are you, and blessed is your Son, Jesus Christ. By the baptism of his suffering, death, and resurrection, you gave birth to your church, delivered us from slavery to sin and death, and made with us a new covenant by water and the Spirit. He commissioned us to be his witnesses to the ends of the earth, and to make disciples of all nations. And today, his family and all the world is joining at his holy table. On the night in which he gave himself up for us, Jesus took the bread. He gave thanks to you, gave it to his disciples and said, "Take and eat. This is my body which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." And when the supper was over, he took the cup, gave thanks to you, gave it to the disciples, and said, "Drink from this, all of you. This is the blood of the new covenant poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you do in remembrance of me." And so we come to this table. And so we come in remembrance of these your mighty acts in Jesus Christ. We offer ourselves in praise and thanksgiving as a holy and living sacrifice, in union with Christ's offering for us, as we proclaim the mystery of faith. Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again. Pour out your Holy Spirit on us gathered here in these gifts of bread and wine. May they be for us the body and blood of Christ, that we may be for the world the body of Christ, to be in Christ's blood. Renew our communion with your church through all the world, and strengthen it in every nation and among every people to witness faithfully in your name. By
Son, Jesus Christ, with the Holy Spirit and your Holy Church, all honor and glory is yours, Almighty God, now and forever. Amen. Those who are serving, join us at the altar. Trinity and in the United Methodist Church, the table is an open table. It's a place where everyone is welcome to come and share in this meal. We invite you to exit your row to your left and come to the station in front of you. You'll be given a piece of bread, and you can take that and dip it into the cup in the manner of intention. As you come to receive these gifts, you also have the opportunity to kneel at the altar rail in prayer. So after you've received communion, feel free to spend as much time as you like in prayer. And finally, there's gluten-free available at these two stations in the middle. And if you would like gluten-free, please just come and ask us, and we'd be happy to serve you. Please come.
One Lord of all, one included as his table, included in our common life, included in the life of God, in the life of the triune God, in the life shared by the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.
Let's sing for joy, for joy.
Go in the joy of knowing that you have been included in the inner life of a God who is love. Go find joy in telling others that they too are included.
May God be gracious to us, make his face shine down. May God be gracious to us, make his face known. Let's sing.
Go find joy in bringing all God's people to his table. Go find joy in telling others that they too are included. Do not be afraid, little flock, for your Father has chosen gladly to give you the kingdom. You are included.
God be gracious to us. Make his face shine.
It is both a blessing and a privilege to be included and welcomed at the Lord's table. Let us stand together and sing all four verses of In Christ There Is No East or West as we celebrate our unity in Christ. In Christ there
out now, knowing that you have been included. Go out to live in such a way as a member of the body of Christ that others might be drawn to.